You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 4th, 2021, President Joe Biden announcing a new vaccination goal. He wants 160 million U.S. adults to be fully inoculated against COVID by July 4. The latest federal data says 105 million Americans, nearly 32% of the population, now fully vaccinated. So Biden's expecting to aim for 70% of the U.S. adult population to have at least one vaccine shot by July 4. Can we start planning on cooking out, hot dogs, grilling, and all that stuff? I don't know. By the way, the government's also going to step forward to get more pharmacy, pop-up pharmacies. Walmart and Sam's Club also announcing they're going to administer and accept walk-in COVID-19 vaccines going forward. In the meantime, the Pentagon, under President Joe Biden's leadership, is rejecting a permit for the annual Rolling to Remember motorcycle ride. It's held in D.C. each Memorial Day to honor POW and MIA vets. AMVETS was always in charge of that, submitting requests and petitions. It involved numerous federal agencies. It always got a pass. These are motorcyclists on two or three wheels, or sometimes four. Rolling Thunder, they call it. Basically, to remember those we lost in previous wars. The Biden administration has decided, you know, with this COVID thing, don't think we shouldn't do it because of that. Really? Really? Senator Tom Cotton says folks have been disregarding the CDC rules for a long time. He points out, and he's right. He said most Americans, they see and hear the rules from the CDC, the advice CDC gives you about eating steak, how often you should or shouldn't eat it, how you should cook it, not cook it, hamburgers, CDC concerns about beer. And if they get into Jack Daniels, I'm really going to be upset. But basically, they are saying, do this, do that, don't do that, do this. And he is saying, enough. The CDC has now become a politicized agency. It's not really health-oriented. And, of course, he says we need to get kids back in school. Yes, we certainly should. Vice President Harris, 41 days now without a single news conference or visiting the U.S. border with Mexico after President Biden gave her the duty to take care of that for us, will you? The White House continues to defend Harris and said that her job is dealing with the border surge to make gains, diplomatic gains, with countries from the Northern Triangle. So she's been doing Zoom calls and things like that, and she has found a cause for all of the illegals rushing our border. The cause is, according to VP Harris, the cause is climate change. She says if we get control of the climate in Central and Latin America, then they won't be coming up here. Hey, here's something from the Chinese. They have a 100-foot core of a rocket that's going to be entering our planet at some unknown point in the coming days. We're not even sure exactly when. They don't know where it's going to fall. It's an uncontrolled descent. Now, last May, debris from that same rocket rained down on a couple of villages along Africa's Ivory Coast. That case, the rocket, which weighs more than 1.8 million pounds, fully fueled, carrying an experimental crew capsule, it came down May 11, 2020. We're still waiting for the other pieces to come. Chicken Little, the sky's falling. Coca-Cola saying we're going to stop its diversity plan. It had penalties on outside law firms if they failed to meet racial diversity quotas. But there's been such a backlash, Coca-Cola says, okay, we're not going to be that woke no more. And this is going to make things difficult for police. Two carjacking suspects pull a car over, handcuff the people, the carjackers are acting like cops. They're not cops, but they get them handcuffed and take off in their car. That's going to make it tough for anyone else. And it's never a good, happy time to talk about a marriage coming to an end. But if you're looking for a silver lining, it would involve the Bill and Melinda Gates, 27 years of marriage. They announced that they're going to, they've agreed to separate. Apparently, they're going to not have a big fight over any properties. Estimated worth in properties, planes, so forth, $120 million. We're not even talking about the $100 million shares and so forth and so on. There's a lot of money to be divided. I need to get Melinda Gates' phone number. Excuse me, I got to go make a call. I'll be right back.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Wokeness is trying to destroy America, and we're seeing, whether it's the corporate media or big business, we're seeing woke corporations that are engaged as the political enforcers of the radical left, and are trying to silence, are trying to cancel, are trying to punish American citizens, and I think it is profoundly dangerous.
Those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. Wokeness is destroying America. It is profoundly dangerous. Now, I mentioned in news and commentary just moments ago about how it will sometimes backfire on those who are trying their best to be so woke, and suddenly they got a, we stepped over a line maybe we shouldn't have. Specifically, Coca-Cola. Now, you, of course, recall Coca-Cola, headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. Once that new Georgia election law got passed and all the outcry went out that you're trying to keep poor people, minorities, from voting with this new law, you're making it tougher and so forth and so on, which is a lie every step of the way. And the same thing that they'll have to stand out there on the voting lines, they won't be able to get anything to eat or drink, and they'll just pass out and die or starve to death, die of thirst while they're waiting to vote. Oh, there are folks that absolutely bought that. Because you had the state-controlled media repeating it over and over again without actually looking at the facts. The facts are simple. You can bring your own water and food if you think you're going to be there that long. And secondly, poll watchers and workers can supply some things for you. They're just trying to keep anybody coming up, offering you sandwiches or soda, maybe in exchange for a vote. In other words, that's called electioneering within certain distances of the polls. You know that's illegal. But Coca-Cola is one of the ones at the same time. This is bad. This is bad. The MLB pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta for that, which is going to hurt a lot of minorities who live in Atlanta, and then moved to Denver, which is 70-plus percent white. That's not going to help those minorities. But they thought, well, we got to take a stand. And Stacey Abrams, of course, had been pushing for action and get some kind of pressure on them, but then apparently tried to back up and say, well, I didn't want them to leave. We still need them. Well, they did, Stacey. And according to the MLB commissioner, that he had a meeting with her and Al Sharpton, and they were basically saying, if you hold this game here, it's going to be boycotted by the black players. Whatever the reason, they went, and then Stacey had to, whoops, that blew up. So now Coca-Cola's having to deal with it. I mentioned in the news and commentary, Coca-Cola had a diversity plan they set up. They wanted to be very woke. So they were going to include penalties on any outside law firms if the law firm failed to meet racial diversity quotas as determined by Coca-Cola. The guy who planned it, put it all together for Coke, is the former general counsel, Bradley Gayton. He's gone, resigned, after less than a year on the job because of all the criticism about this quota thing. In fact, some were questioning whether that policy even would violate Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that says employers cannot treat people differently based on their race. So now they have new leadership, and they're saying when there's a leadership change, it takes time for the new leader to review the current status of the team, organization, and initiatives, and we're all working on that. In other words, it's a work in progress. Somebody wrote, and I like this line, woke Coke has gone flat. Pretty much so. So you hear Senator Cruz saying this wokeness is destroying America, and we know it's destroying lives in many cases, threatening them anyway. You just saw that from the Coca-Cola story, and that's just one example. But in the midst of this, and I told you about this last week, but I want to tie it all together for you now after these remarks from Senator Cruz, James Carville, the political mastermind that got Bill Clinton into office. I cannot take away from the guy's political knowledge, expertise, and how to play the game. You have to give him all kinds of credit. Plus, I like to hear his accent because he's from Louisiana. He's a raging Cajun. I like him, and he's a good guy. And to that extent, I like the way he's talking. Well, he also, the other day, as I told you in an interview with Vox publication, talked about how woke things are messing things up. And so that was followed up in an interview he did with CNN. Listen to this.
After the 2020 congressional elections, there was a huge eruption in the Democratic caucus where people correctly pointed out that this whole defund the police stuff cost us congressional seats. I can look at the voting results in the Rio Grande Valley. I can look at the voting results in Miami-Dade. I can relate conversations that I have with people every day. People don't want to live like this, scared to address an issue because it might come out the wrong way. And no one is using their language except for, you know, some of our people on television. If you go to, and if you need wokeness, just go listen to NPR.
Go listen to NPR. You'll get a lot of wokeness. That's James Carville. And he had been asked, you know, basically, well, are we going to, you know, do you, we'll see some polling that maybe it works. He said, I don't need no stupid polling. The caucus that took place after the 2020 election, you remember that, right? You know and you remember, I'm sure, that some members of the Democrats barely won their congressional seats because everybody was crying out, defund the police, while we have fires and looting and arson and vandalism happening all over the nation, be it BLM or be it Antifa or be it white supremacists or whatever, whoever is responsible. You really want to stop policing at that point? It cost or came close to costing Democrats control of the House, and it may well come chickens coming home to roost come this next midterm. In the meantime, you got Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri so excited that the St. Louis Police Department is now going to defund, take money out of the police coffers. And they got a police chief that said, yeah, that's a good idea. You know why he says that. It's a political appointment. That's why. He's not going to go against it at this point. You think the rank-and-file officers in the street are glad to have one less officer to back them up if they need it? Have to work over and overtime and not really be get that much more pay and then many times be in more jeopardy? There's no upside to taking money out of the police, especially when you dump it into social service programs, which still aren't going to really change anything. And then you got those folks saying, well, let's just, you know, let's get really woke. Let's just take the guns away from the police, and they only take them out when they really need them. Well, how the hell are they going to know they're going to need them until they're facing the situation? If you believe that, if you really believe that, you go down there and you volunteer and you sign up and you become a police officer, and then when they sign you in and swear you in and you swear to protect and serve, you tell them, but I don't want a gun. Anyone want to do it? Of course not. But Carville is again saying the woke movement is hurting the Democrats. He's right. He's making it clear that's hurting us too, the way it's being played out. You've got Senator Cruz saying it's destroying America because they want to cancel and attack anybody they disagree with, often conservatives, Republicans, whatever. And then with inside the woke community, the Democrats themselves are saying that hurts. I mean, and when those Democrats that came close to losing their congressional seat said, we just barely got by, you got to stop it, they got chastised and were darn near canceled at the point. So a question from the interviewer for Carville as to what next? Just listen.
The number of people that have contacted me or had people contact me after this has been enormously gratifying. Everybody just wanted this temperature to break. I think that I get people say they're woke and they're tired of being woke. People want to, after this pandemic and stuff, people want to go about their lives. They want to enjoy it. They want to enjoy their friends. They don't want to be nervous about how you address them or talk to them, anything. And, you know, that's just where people are. And people have gotten fired over this. But people have lost their jobs over retweeting academic research. I mean, time and time again, you hear this from everybody. And, of course, people say, I don't want to say anything because I'll lose my job. Well, it so happens that I'm just at a point like where there's nothing to cancel me from, so I don't care. Do what you want to do.
Carver said, you can do what you want to me. I'm going to speak my mind. And he's speaking the truth. And many Democrats know it, but again, do they dare say amen to that? If they do, it's under their breath because somebody might pick it up and say, whoa, you're not as woke as you need to be. And Senator Cruz also in calling out and saying we need to put a stop to it, he said it starts with Republicans. Republicans, get a backbone.
Look, we've got to grow a backbone. We've got to stand up to big business, and we've got to take on big tech. We've got to use the antitrust laws to break up big tech, to go after them for abusing their monopoly power. This week, I wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on big companies and woke corporations, and I made a commitment this week that I am no longer accepting even one penny from any corporate PAC. Over 9 years in the Senate, corporate PACs have given me about $2.6 million, but I said enough is enough. These guys are corrupt. They're lying to the American people. They're fighting the American people. They've declared the American people are their enemy. And so I don't want their money. I won't take a penny. I think the Republican Party needs to grow a backbone and stand up to woke corporate America.
I certainly agree with that. But how many Republicans can turn their back on some of that money that you just heard? Senator Ted Cruz said over the years, I've probably gotten $2.6 million. $2.6 million from these corporate execs that are suddenly woke and demanding it's going to be this way or we're not going to give you. He said, fine, keep your money. I'm not taking a penny of it. Not going to take any. And he's urging other Republicans to do the same thing. So let's pick up that thought again. Let him finish that complete idea.
They're lying to the American people. They're fighting the American people. They've declared the American people are their enemy. And so I don't want their money. I won't take a penny. And when they come to Washington with their hands out for corporate welfare, for subsidies, for mandates, and they do that over and over again. Look, I've been standing against the cronyism and corporate welfare a long time, but I'm urging my colleagues in the Republican Party to stand against the cronyism and corporate welfare as well.
As well. Get a backbone. Show some spine. That message direct from Cruz to Republicans. The message from James Carville to the Democrats, you're out of touch if you think everybody's all that upset and excited about wokeness.
I don't know of anybody, and I live in one of the more diverse cities in maybe the world. I don't know of anybody in New Orleans that says I live in a community of color. I just don't. They'll tell you what neighborhood.
Final question. Could Donald Trump ride wokeness back to the White House in 2024?
Well, let's put it this way. He is a world-class buffoon. I mean, historical buffoon, not just in the history of the United States as well. And he came within 42,000 votes of winning re-election after he had flubbed up the worst pandemic we'd had in 100 years. Somebody somewhere is trying to tell us something. Maybe we should listen to him.
Well, of course, I'm going to disagree with him and his classification that Trump blew the COVID thing because he was doing more than we would have had. And world-class buffoon, it's a funny line, James. I'm going to give you credit for it. But the key point is Americans are already getting tired of this, so they can't peddle it, cannot pound that drum that much more. And then we got the situation, you need a job? There are a lot of jobs out there. Nobody wants a job. Stand by, please.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have a lot of folks out there that lost jobs because of shutdowns, because of COVID. Restaurants had to lay off, had to reorganize because of restrictions. And now in various parts of the nation, and certainly within the St. Louis community, there's been a revision again of dining restrictions in city and St. Louis County. Other counties around have done their own thing. But the issue they're having now is the workers. Where are they going to get the workers? I'm in a restaurant the other day, and the bartender and I are good friends. Well, I will say when I walk in, he's already poured a Jack for me. He already knows what I want when I walk in the door. But we were talking about, he said there was a fair this last weekend, and I'd heard about it, but I didn't check it out. Now, I got this from him, so I hadn't had a chance to check it out, but I don't know. He said they were holding several restaurants and businesses were coming together to hold a job fair and made a big deal of it, and nobody showed up. Nobody. Now, I don't know if that's a little bit of a stretch, but we do know that, and I know not only that restaurant, but others, they can't hire enough people. In fact, he told me one restaurant down the street from them, their cook didn't show up. They couldn't hire anybody, no other cook, so the restaurant couldn't open. The other one nearby that was going to try to be in business, they had a cook, but they didn't have enough staff to be dealing with curbside service. So they had to drop that. They just shut it down. I was told the other day by a place that, in fact, that one of the ones that Quentin and I went to the other day, that the guy told me, he said, we cannot get employees. I'm looking at Montana. They are going to stop offering expanded unemployment benefits in June. Give bonus to recipients of jobless who go back to work. Because too many people at this time are just living on that federal pandemic unemployment compensation they're getting from the state and the federal government. But why should I work? I'll make it. I can stay home and watch Judge Judy. Or better yet, I can just stay home and listen to Larry Connors. If you're doing that, you can continue doing that. No, I mean, people, they don't want to work. Where is the ethic, the work ethic? Well, of course, if you got to pay bills, then you're going to do it. But if you got money coming in, yeah, sure, why not? We're going to have a lot of companies, businesses, that even after this is over, they're going to have a hard time keeping things open and staying because they can't get people to work. I mentioned to you previously, a bank I went into some months ago, this even before COVID. They can't hire people to be tellers. I said, well, what do you pay a teller? They said, starting pay $15 an hour. $20 an hour. $20 an hour. I said, there are folks out there protesting get $15. You're paying $20? Yeah, we pay $20. Now, it's time to think about it. You're inside an environmentally nice place every day. You never have to work on a federal holiday. You will never work on a Sunday, unless you're on the IT side. And you seldom will work Saturdays, maybe every other and only half a day. And they can't get people to come and take that job for $20 an hour. In the meantime, we've got thousands upon thousands trying to come across our border and say, we'll take a job, and they will. I know those who are coming to better themselves are one thing, but those who are coming across cause mayhem and transform America, no. Need to deal with that coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest has served with the Department of Homeland Security. He's also been attorney for both the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, House Oversight Committee, now with Heritage Foundation. And as always, glad to have him aboard again, Mike Howell. Welcome, sir.
Hey, great to be back with you.
So I'm looking at a couple pieces that you and your colleagues, in particular Laura Reese, wrote. Of course, we have her and you on from time to time. And before I get into that, because we're talking about border security, I just want to get your first reaction to Kamala Harris. Vice President Harris has suddenly discovered the reason we have so many rushing the border. Now, Mike, I know you're on top of things, but you may have overlooked this, because the vice president says the reason so many are coming, the root cause of the migrant crisis, not Joe Biden, not even the drug cartels, it is because we need to help Central America and Latin America have climate adaptation.
Yeah, climate migrants, they're new term. But look, what they're doing here is blame anyone but themselves. Very rarely in, you know, U.S. politics, you have such a simple cause and effect. The cause here is the Biden administration undoing all of the Trump-era border security protections and sensible immigration measures. And the effect was the largest border crisis in, you know, U.S. history. And sure, it stacks up in numbers versus a couple of decades ago, but this one's acutely worse in that there's no real plan of what to do when they get here. And, you know, they let them in, and once they're in, there's no chance of them being removed. So it's the worst in history.
Well, the other thing is she expressed her concerns about the violence in Central America against LGBTQ, Afro-descendants, and indigenous people and women. And we know the horrific things that women and children go through when the drug cartel is bringing them from wherever they are in Central America to our border and then sending them across with just a phone number in their pocket. And are we vetting? And that, I've been raising this question repeatedly. Are we vetting who the person is on the other end of the line when we call and they say, oh, yeah, that's my cousin. Send them on up. Do we even know if there's a relative? Do we know that we're not handing these kids over from the drug cartel to sex rings operating the nation?
No. The Biden administration came in and ripped it up. We had something in the Trump administration that did just that, and the Biden administration came up and ripped it up because they thought it was unfair, because the most of the people on the receiving ends are illegal aliens themselves, and they thought that was too much to ask the illegal aliens to put forth some information.
So we don't give a damn about giving kids over to somebody that might be using them for sex objects the rest of their lives?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's all part of the plan. I mean, they want as many people moved in the interior as quickly as possible. So the first person they can find, you know, they're getting them out there. It's a sham of a system, and they're so overloaded. There's no human way possible they could vet all these people. I mean, first off, if you were to vet, these people shouldn't be going to illegal aliens at all. How are you going to vet an illegal alien, someone who has, you know, been living in the U.S. and not coming into contact with our system for so long? There's no adequate way to do this at all. So, I mean, they're not even trying at all to do it. Going back real quick to your point about what they're doing by blaming, you know, Central America, it's because they don't want to blame themselves. I mean, they're going to keep coming up with these woke new terminologies like climate migrant and all this other
stuff. Absolutely right. I mean, already they're not detention centers. They are reception centers.
Right. And guess what? You build these, you know, beautiful reception centers like they want to, and it's just going to mean more come. They just want to process them into the interior as fast as possible.
And yet we don't have the Biden administration using the word crisis. Now, Biden did by chance one day say, you know, well, we forgot why he was saying he couldn't do something because of the crisis we had at the border. And I know somebody suddenly said, in fact, Jen Psaki the next day, White House spokeswoman, had to go in there and say, well, it was just a term. It's not really a crisis. What they're calling it, cake. It's a cakewalk. That's their C word.
Yeah, and behind closed doors, they view it as an opportunity. I mean, this is when they see a huge, you know, what we see as a crisis, they see as a huge voter registration possibility. They want to give these people amnesty as fast as possible. I mean, they're waving them in. I mean, it's the shoot for the moon right now. Get as many illegal aliens into the country as possible and then try to ram through some sort of comprehensive amnesty that gives everyone the right to vote as quickly as possible. They think they can turn Texas blue by the next election. This is all part of the lib agenda.
You're listening to Mike Howell with Heritage Foundation. I want to go through a few points very quickly with you that you helped pen a piece for the Daily Signal about some of Biden's border crisis claims, although he doesn't use that term. Claim number one, that Biden inherited, quote, one god-awful mess at the border from Trump. You say that's false. I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, the Trump administration set up a well-oiled machine by the time they left, and it was without the help of Congress whatsoever. So Trump had basically, you know, after COVID, installed what's called Title 42. It was basically expelling anyone who ended up making it to the border under the public health justification. It makes complete sense. There's no such thing as safe illegal immigration, especially during a pandemic. Okay, and so that was the biggest, the granddaddy of them all. But, you know, the Biden administration has whittled it away and now is saying if you bring a kid, you're basically getting in. And they're trying to sabotage the rest of it in court. But, you know, additionally, we had set up a system whereby if someone was, you know, traversing through another country on their way to the U.S., they had to claim asylum there. And then if they were coming through Mexico, they had to wait in Mexico if they were, you know, even met the first stage.
Yeah, if they left their country of origin, they've already entered a country of sanctuary if they simply apply there. Down there, you also had the Biden claim that it is getting our urgent action.
Yeah, that is not true at all. They haven't lifted a finger on any of this stuff. The only stuff they've done is undoing. They went into day one of this administration, shut down ICE, stopped the border wall, which sent the massive green lights out of the border to come on in. They haven't done one thing on the security side to actually erect some sort of common sense, you know, impediment to an illegal alien wanting to come here. It's all undoing. In fact, they're actually flying illegal aliens from, you know, their home countries into the U.S. right now. You know, and so they're trying to make it even easier for folks to come in.
Are you talking about from Central America or the Northern Triangle? We're flying them from there. They're not having to make the trek just to get to our southern border?
Yep, you're absolutely right. It's called the Central American Miners Program. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are sending planes down to pick up illegal aliens to fly them into the U.S. just so they, you know, save them the trip. You couldn't inconvenience them to even walk here. They want them. That's how badly the Biden administration wants them in here. So you're paying for that. And I'll tell you what. Furthermore, these people they do not qualify once they go through the proceedings. They aren't eligible for any of the relief that they're in here to supposedly wait out till they get. And even during the Obama administration, they tried this a little bit. The career staff of the department said this is outrageous.
I had not heard they were actually flying them direct from those countries into the U.S. Where's the money coming from? Who's paying for it? Where's the spigot we'd need to turn it? Shut it off.
Right. So the money's flowing out the door from all over the place. One big place that it's coming out of is FEMA. So the money we set aside for
disasters. Yeah, it's an emergency. Right. Not a crisis, but it's an emergency. I got it.
That money is going towards NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who, by the way, are a big part of what's driving this crisis to the U.S., are the people who help get people here in the first place. Well, the FEMA is now giving our money to these groups to basically then, once the illegals get to, you know, the border, to fly them elsewhere into the interior, and they set them up and take care of them. So it's coming out. If a disaster hits and there's not enough money, you know who to blame.
Well, here's another one. They're saying that one of the claims that a month ago we had thousands of young kids in custody in places they shouldn't be, controlled by the Border Patrol. We've cut that down dramatically. True or false?
Yeah, that's like shuttering a jail and saying you solved the crime problem. They're just getting them out of there faster. I mean, it's all what they're doing here. And we called this out as soon as this all started, is all the Biden administration wants to do is process these people faster, because the only thing that they're really sensitive to are these overcrowded facilities. So their solution is just get them out of the facilities.
Well, speaking of solutions, they came up with this bipartisan Border Solutions Act that was supposed to be a bipartisan effort. What is that? Where does it stand?
Well, this just shows how Republicans sometimes are the worst negotiators on Capitol Hill, because this got Republicans on it, too. It basically said, hey, Biden administration, we won't ask you to reinstate any of the security measures. Instead, what we're going to do for you is build these beautiful welcome centers that you want, or reception centers. And we're going to, you know, make it so you can process people so quickly that we'll get them wherever you want ASAP. And then, you know, therefore, there won't be a crisis, just because we won't have a border and we'll be processing them so fast. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think this bill doesn't stand a chance of going anywhere at this point. But the fact that it was even entertained shows how fundamentally unserious, you know, a lot of people are about solving the crisis. Solving the crisis is simple. I mean, you need to secure the border and you need to deport people who are illegally. Those are two things this administration is absolutely unwilling to do.
Well, the other issue is, I mean, is there going to be a day of reckoning come at least the midterm election? I mean, as I point out to the audience, if this border crisis is not affecting you yet, it will. And, of course, many that live along the border, but then those way north, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Montana, they're beginning to have a southern border crisis themselves.
Yep, you're absolutely right. There's no such thing as a border town or city anymore. I mean, we're all border towns and cities. And even if, you know, it's not in front of your face, it affects you in so many ways, whether it's overcrowding schools and the cost of education. It costs $15,000 to educate a person a year on average in this country. Now, imagine multiplying that by the tens of millions that we have in this country. Your health care costs. When an illegal alien shows up at the ER with, you know, and doesn't have health insurance, guess who picks up that bill? It gets passed along to you and your insurance costs. You know, whether it's any of the other public, you know, resources or, you know, any of the entitlement benefits that we're extending. New York's friggin', you know, handing them cash right now.
And we're all for immigration. We're built on that. We're a melting pot, but it was legal. Mike Howell, thank you again for your time. Always fascinating. We'll do it again.
Yep, absolutely. Good chatting with you.
You bet. Mike Howell, Heritage Foundation, as I said, had spent time with the Department of Homeland Security and various other such groups. Coming up, if you have not heard this exchange that took place between a woman and an officer who stopped her, and how she got started suddenly calling him, the police officer, a murderer and a racist. It's coming up. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, do you want to be a police officer? You want to protect your community? You want to serve your community as an officer? You know, with everything that's being thrown at police officers lately, if they make one mistake, and if they make a mistake, they're going to have to be held accountable. You can't deny that. But how many times are they vilified for something they didn't do? It's become a blanket indictment of every police officer, regardless of that officer's color, religion, gender, sexual preference. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. An officer stops a woman because they have a law in that area that you cannot drive and be on your phone at the same time. He saw the woman in her Mercedes driving with her phone up. Now, she's going to later say, well, I wasn't texting or anything. I was filming you, and the reason why. The county sheriff's department at this time either doesn't have the money or had not made it a mandatory yet that the officers have their body cams, that they have a body cam. This officer decided to spend his own money to get it, thought, I might need it for my own protection. I'm glad he did, because here's what happened. He makes a stop. As I've always told you, there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop for an officer. But even this suddenly took a different turn as he stops her and he walks up to the car, and this is where we pick it up.
Good morning.
And the speed limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled you over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record
you. May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his.
Do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please?
I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
He's a murderer. She's immediately saying, I wasn't speaking. I was 38. Well, and you must be a murderer. Why would she suddenly jump to that conclusion? Because of the language and the lack of respect that's being pushed and shoved around our nation right now. And if this is a grown woman with that attitude, how do you think that plays out with kids as they begin to watch parents react this way? And again, let's pick it up because she's still not happy.
Not harassment. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to and record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
I wasn't texting or none of that.
Do you have that
you
picture?
You scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me,
Dave? Sure.
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well,
if
here you
stop,
go,
stop
murderer.
Shaking. Zoom in on that for
no,
me,
No, because
ma'am.
You're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son.
It's so, on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go,
be
dear.
White.
Have
you,
a good
ma'am.
Day.
Have a good day. My God, that officer deserves so much praise. Yeah, she said, I'm a teacher. Well, now you think about the kid she's teaching. Now, I'm not even talking about her own child. She says, this guy's a murderer because he's a police officer. Riddle me this. If somebody's breaking into her house, coming in to rob and rape and kill her and her family, who the hell she's going to call? Boy, she can't be calling another murderer. You certainly can't be calling a Mexican police officer because he's racist. He just wants to be white. That's the only reason he's got the job, I guess. It's this kind of crap, this kind of wokeness that is destroying America. Senator Ted Cruz, as you heard him say earlier on this program, and James Carville for the Democrats saying the same thing. American people are tired and sick of this, and yet this kind of stuff exists out there. You want to be a police officer? It's bad enough if you're going to go into a scene. You don't have backup because the department has been defunded. They've got people trying to come to you, but I don't know if they're going to get to you in time. That's into a deadly situation. Now you encounter, it's, lady, all I did, you're not supposed to be doing it, and then you're supposed to carry your driver's license. You know, you do know that, right? So you're a teacher. Wouldn't you know that? But I was started recording you because I'm afraid you're going to kill me and my son. We have to fight back, and I'll fight back with it with you every day on this kind of stuff. If an officer's wrong, I will call them out. I'll help you. I'll help you pin them down if they're wrong. But not all are wrong, not all are right. I'll remind you again that a major station in this town that carried Rush Limbaugh for 20-plus years with Limbaugh's death has decided to basically do a three-hour talk show. And I'm sure it'll be entertaining. I have friends over that station. I'm just telling you, if you want good, strong, conservative, patriotic, and even independent thought, and sometimes maybe too liberal for some of you, it's right here. At this station, KXEN, 1010 AM, and certainly Larry Connors USA. Would you please spread the word and tell everyone, Larry Connors USA. I appreciate it. And they will too once they start listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.